Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate your support and appreciate you listening to the show. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. You're listening to Culture Shock Sports Edition, Friday edition, Culture Shock Entertainment Report, PM edition. I think this is the first time broadcasting the sports edition at night. And so I thank you for tuning in. Not sure if Ridge Ruffnet will be joining us, but I think he might. But we have a lot to talk about and a lot of good music to listen to. And I was just reading on DallasBlack.com that Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner are getting a divorce. Say it ain't so. And I said, ain't. I had seen a report yesterday on Today's Show with regarding that, but I just like, okay, that's just, you know, rumors. But hey, there's a big game happening here in the state of Mississippi tomorrow, sweat game. I know some of you say, well, why? She's very seldom talking about the sweat. Well, you know, some of you all know I'm an alumni of JSU. Then graduated by studying business management after graduating from Hines studying management. Here is what's down in the Clarion Ledger, and this is by Travis Downey, a sports writer with Clarion Ledger. He is the Jackson State beat writer at the Clarion Ledger, and he also covers some M-Braves and some high school sports and a little golf. And you can read more of his work in print online at clarionledger.com. That is Jackson's newspaper. And you also can follow him on Twitter at Travis A. Downey, like Robert Downey Jr. Okay, check this out. This is under a JSU, Jackson State Sports, Saturday checklist, JSU at Alcorn State. Now, this big game used to be played, used to be called the Capital City Classic, played here in Jackson. This year it's been played in Warman, Mississippi, where Alcorn is located. And what they will do, they will start switching out each year, alternating years. Like next year, I believe the game will be played here in Jackson. This is as big as it gets. Jackson State, 6'4", 6'2", swag. Travels to Lorman today. Where is it tomorrow? Tomorrow. It's Friday night. Tomorrow for its regular season finale against swag rival Alcorn State, 4'6", 4'4", swag. Now, this is before it being called the Capital City Classic, and it's been called, been billed as the Soul Bowl 2012, and this is the Soul Bowl. Okay, looking to clinch the Eastern Division title. JSU has won four straight, entering Saturday's 2 p.m. kickoff, but none of that matters if the Tigers fail to finish the deal against Alcorn. A win would give the Tigers their first divisional crown since 2008 and put them in the SWAC championship game for December the 8th against Arkansas Pine Bluff. Here's a few keys to making sure that does indeed happen. Number one, no self-inflicted wounds. On paper, Jackson State is the better team. The records, the stats, the tendencies, all was there to support that claim. That being said, with this game returning to Lorman for the first time in 18 years, the crowd at Spinks-Casem Stadium will be on edge come kickoff. I believe 18 years ago, McNair was still playing for Alcorn. The crowd at Spinks-Casem Stadium will be on edge come kickoff. JSU has to avoid letting the Braves hang around by committing turnovers. It's been a problem at times this season for the Tigers. JSU has lost 17 fumbles on a season. That's the most in the SWAC. By comparison, Alcorn has turned the ball over. It's 17 times total, tied for second fewest in the conference. Throw in 10 interceptions by JSU quarterbacks on the season, and you can see that the Tigers need to take care of the football this week. Two, get Sims, Gooden, going early, often. Say what you will about some of his decisions, but you can't downplay the role JSU quarterback Clayton Moore has played in helping the Tigers turn their season around during this winning streak. He's currently tied for fourth in the SWAC in total offense, 215.8 yards per game, and maybe more than anything, brings a different attitude to the huddle. But the Tigers may want to take a little bit of the load off of his shoulders this week, particularly in the running game. Rakeem Sims has really come on in recent weeks, averaging 107.6 rushing yards per game over the Tigers' last three games. And Tommy Golden is averaging 5.8 yards per carry this season. With Moore being a little banged up coming out of the Alabama A&M game, this may be a good time to up the carries for the Tigers' top two backs. JSU coach Rick Comegy has said he wants his offense to control the tempo this week A heavy dose of Sam's and Gooden could help do that. 3, stick with what you got here. In talking with Moore earlier this week, he alluded to the fact that JSU has adopted a championship game attitude, this quote-unquote championship game attitude, since the Alabama State game. That's when this winning streak started. So on Saturday, the fact that so much is hanging in the balance shouldn't affect this team. It can't. This is the game that determined it all, but to us 3 games ago determined it all, Moore said. When we played Alabama State, it was, okay, if we lose this one, we're done. Every East Coast opponent we played, if we lose, we're done. So nothing changes. 4, listen to Denny. I'm not sure why, but the more I think about this game, the more I hear former Arizona Cardinals coach Dennis Green telling reporters that Chicago Bears are what we thought they were. JSU can't afford to let the Braves off the hook. So, again, this is composed by Travis Downey. He's the Jackson State beat writer at the Clarion Ledger, and he covers M-Braves, some high school sports, and a little golf, and you can tweet him at Travis A. Downey. And also, I have it on Pinterest, no Twitter, and also on Facebook, this exact article, for those of you that just want to be in the know of pretty much what is going on with Jackson State sports. Okay? Okay. Let's see. I hope you can't hear my background. The next room, my background noise. There was another story regarding to the game, and I'm sure you want to hear from the Alcorn's point of view also. But I had ran across an interesting article that I had wanted to share with you. And also remember, we're still profiling the 32 head coaches and interim coaches also. So we'll be continuing that, profiling the 32 head coaches. Last week, profile Lovie Smith of the Chicago Bears. But there was an article that I wanted to share. I will share it before. I will share with you before that. Let's see. Before I play another song, because I'm hyped about this, but it's a lot of great things going on. But I know Genuine. You also can visit allcorn.edu. You can also visit JSU Tigers. Oh, here's another interesting article that you guys might like. Hear. This is about the FOBO has a lot online for Jackson State and Alcorn. Excuse my pause. I just wanted to get straight into talking about the big game this weekend. We're going any farther, and this is another article written by Travis Downey just the other day, and he states that the FOBO has a lot on line with Jackson State and Alcorn. JSU will win SWAC East with a win at Lorman. It doesn't get much bigger than this for Jackson State or rival Alcorn State, for that matter. This July, Saturday's meeting between the in-state SWAC rivals has been one of the most anticipated in series history simply because of the location. That was when Alcorn announced it was moving the game to Stadium in Lorman, ending an 18-year run at Mississippi Veterans Memorial Stadium, JSU's home turf, at the Capital City Classic. Braves fans rejoiced while some Jackson State fans and City of Jackson employees fumed. The Magnolia Heritage Classic, Return of the Soul Bowl, as it's billed by Alcorn, is set for a 2 p.m. kickoff Saturday at Spence-Cason Stadium. Alcorn added 2,500 temporary seats to accommodate what school officials expect to be a record crowd at 22,500-seat stadium. Those added seats could come in handy. Not only does the game mark the return of the series to the Alcorn campus for the first time in nearly 20 years, but both teams have plenty to play for. Yes, both. You know about JSU. The Tigers, 6-4, 4-4 SWAC, have won four straight and are looking to secure their first Eastern Division championship since 08 and advance to the SWAC championship game in Birmingham on December the 8th. Because of that, JSU coach Rick Comegy didn't seem overly concerned about the change in the venue. I don't know if that's going to make much of a difference, Comegy said, especially when there's so much at stake. I think the kids are going to go down and focus on what they got to do and leave the other stuff to alumni and fans. And this is a big weekend, and all of you from the state and from out of state, please be careful. Have fun, but be careful, and do not drink and drive, please. Always have a designated driver. I know how it can get. They said, we set a goal early in the year, and we've come close to it. We've been through our ups and downs. We just want to go down and play. My screen is trying to jump around. I saw I'm hooking it up on my Facebook page right now, too. Yes, both. You know about JSU, the Tigers, 6-4, 4-4 SWAC, have won four straight and are looking to secure their first Eastern Division championship since 08 and advance to the SWAC championship game in Birmingham on December 8th. Because of that, JSU coach Rick Comegy didn't seem overly concerned about the change of venue. I don't know if that's going to make much of a difference, Comegy said, especially when there's so much at stake. I think the kids are going to go down and focus on what they got to do and the other stuff to alumni fans. I had to read that area for you. We set a goal early in the year, and we've come down to it. We've been through our ups and downs. We just want to go down and play the best football game we can. First-year Braves coach Jay Hobson sees it differently. You hope so, Hobson said of the home field advantage. The game is going to be played between the white lines. That's the reality of it. Good to have this game back on campus just because it's good for our alumni. It's good for our fans. It's good for our student athletes. We'll be back in Jackson next year, and we'll come back down here the following year. And, again, you can contact Travis Downey at 601-961-7190, and you can tweet him at Travis A. Downey. The article is not through. But this game is more than its location. Alcorn 4-6, 4-4 SWAC can finish year one of the Hobson era with a winning record in league play. This after winning just one year ago. and if in accomplishing the feat, the Braves happen to spoil the Chiefs' rival season, well, that would be just fine for those in purple and gold as well. It's a big ball game, as we all know, Hobson said. They're a very talented team. Very well-coached football team. They're a team that's in the running for championship every year. We know we got our hands full. We're just ready to get it going. JSU tied for the first in the SWAC East last season, but lost a head-to-head tiebreaker with Alabama A&M. It wouldn't have mattered, though. JSU was ineligible for postseason play due to low academic progress rate scores. Those sanctions were expected to continue into the season, but were lifted in April by the NCAA. Since August, JSU players and coaches have talked of getting a SWAC championship ring. I think that the attitude is great, Comegy said. I think the desire is great. I think they will play with a lot of intensity. This group of seniors really wants to go to Birmingham. Tigers defensive tackle Jonathan Phillips is one of the 18 seniors hoping to cap his career with a trip to Birmingham. They have to survive the trip to Lawrence first. I want it so bad, Phillips said, of a win on Saturday and again on December the 8th. I've been playing football for so many years, and I don't have any jury to show for it. Definitely due time. Wow, and then I'm looking at this article right here, which is sports, unrelated to sports. Can you all believe that the American company Hostess is going out of business? I can't believe it. I met Twinkies, Cupcakes, Ding Dong. I can't believe it. You all know we got to talk. Man, I could not believe it. I couldn't. An American company like that going out of business. I'm looking at this headline, and when I seen that story break earlier this week, I was like, no way. No way. Not another American company will. Oh, man. My mother said this morning, well, I wonder why another company just didn't buy them out. You know, why do you have to go out of business? That is something. But it is Friday night, and this is this fighting weekend. Thanksgiving is only less than a week away. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's time to add more and more Christmas songs and holiday songs to the playlist. So if you have a holiday song that you would like me to add to the playlist, I definitely will. I didn't know if Red Ruffnick was on the line. He's not on the line. And I am going to play something good. I'm in the midst of adding this song to the playlist.
What up, though? It's your host with the most, Big Snoopy Deagle Double G. And you inside this techno dance mixtape brought to you by, that's right, y'all, BLE. Radio station BLE. On your dial. You dig? And we're going to kick it off with a little something like this.
We'll be right back. Don't grab it.
Ooh, that sounds good. Front Logic, Snoop Dogg. Here's a little snippet of Extra Lovable. Friends, are you extra lovable?
That would make a mini brother mighty proud. Look, I say it loud. You got a dozen little sexy dreams and a dozen cities in the shoes. Won't even allow. Never do you both like the other chicks who think they're fine and love to let love to flaunt it. What I dream the most is that you keep it in your head until I want.
Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association. I am Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy, and I'm here to talk about our report, State of the Air. In State of the Air, we look at the impacts of two of the most widespread air pollutants in the country, ozone and particle pollution. Ozone is a molecule of three oxygen atoms. It's the most widespread air pollutant that there is in the nation. Ozone isn't emitted directly, but it comes when we burn fossil fuels and produce things like volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxides. Both of those, when they get into the atmosphere and in the presence of sunlight and heat, react chemically in the atmosphere to create ozone. So ozone often shows up at its highest place, far away from where the raw ingredients are made. Ozone irritates your lungs, leaving them with something like a bad sunburn. It can cause health problems the day you breathe it in or even days afterwards. Particle pollution is a different chemical altogether. In fact, particle pollution is a mixture of mixtures. It is a noxious mix of microscopic bits of soot and ash, exhaust, chemicals, metals, and aerosols. Particles are the most dangerous and deadly of the outdoor air pollutants that are widespread in America. Particles that we're looking at are so tiny they're impossible to see. We compare them to the diameter of a human hair. The diameter of a human hair is 70 microns. The particles we're talking about are no bigger than 1/7 the diameter of your hair. And the smallest ones we're looking at are actually no bigger than 1/30 the diameter of the human hair. Particle levels can spike dangerously for hours to weeks on end, or reach high levels day in and day out for most of the year. We look at these in both ways because the impacts, either for high spikes or for lower levels at day in and day out, can be very deadly. The science is clear. Particle pollution can kill. Breathing it can lead to heart attacks, asthma attacks, and strokes, and it can affect how your children's lungs grow and develop. Particle pollution may be even more deadly than we previously thought. Recently, California experts tripled their estimate of the number of people that particle pollution kills each year in California. And that number is roughly 18,000, the equivalent of a small city.
Wow. Man, the air pollution is no joke. And this is dedicated to, I would say both teams, but because I do love me some all corn. But this is for all athletes, games played tonight and this weekend.
Man, drop that shit for these fuck niggas. Man, drop that shit.
Okay, now this is from Opposing Views. College Football Week 12 SEC predictions, Mississippi State, LSU, Missouri, and more. Okay, college football still up. Last week was the odd occurrence where I actually fared better against the spread than I did straight up 5-2 versus 4-3 for the year. That brings me to 75-17 straight up. That is what the author is writing in this article. And 44-40 against the spread onto this week's pick. Okay, here are the picks for opposing views. There are a bunch of out-of-conference games this week where the SEC is taking on below FBS opponents, Western Carolina, Alabama, Jacksonville State, Florida, Wofford, South Carolina, Georgia Southern, Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Auburn, Sam Houston State, Texas A&M, and Samford, Kentucky. Samford, Kentucky, and Auburn, Alabama, A&M could be tighter than the SEC schools won't, but let's just do an overall pick here and say the SEC goes 7-0 in those games. Since they involve FCS opponents, there are no point spreads involved onto the FBS versus FBS games. Arkansas, 4-6-2-4. Arkansas 4-6-2-4 and Mississippi State 7-3-3-3. And the airtime would be at 12:21 p.m. SEC Network. Dan Mullen and the Bulldogs are in a bit of a tailspin. After starting out 7-0, the Bulldogs have come to the difficult part of their schedule and have promptly lost every game they've played against top 25 opponents. The good news of the Bulldogs is that the Razorbacks aren't a top 25 team. The Razorbacks have won just one of their last three, and that was a four-point win over Tulsa, which is probably Arkansas's best win of the season. Mississippi State's best win is Tennessee. Let's face it, neither of these teams have beaten anybody. If you look at trends, the Bulldogs are 5-1, at home, and the Hawks are 1-2 on the road, with the win being at Auburn. Wow. My attorney, my crazy friend Jay, attended Arkansas and also SMU. With the win being at Auburn, if you look at against the spread trends, Arkansas has underperformed by 9.8 points per game against the spread, while Mississippi State has beat the spread by an average of 0.3 points per game. He states that, "I don't feel good about it, but I would play the odds and go with the home team in this one." He's predicting that Mississippi State will beat Arkansas 31-24, Ole Miss, whom is 5-5-2-4, and LSU, whom is 8-2-4-2. That game will air at 3:30 on CBS. Ole Miss has improved football team this season, but they have not fared well against ranked opponents this season. Lost to Texas 66-31, lost to Bama 33-14, and lost to Georgia 37-10. For you math majors out there, that's an average of 27 points per loss. The top 25 opponents, 18.5 is a big point spread for a team that has played offense like LSU has this season. But I think the game last week versus Mississippi State shows that LSU has turned the corner a bit on offense and is capable of winning this game going away. LSU, they're predicting 38, Ole Miss 17. Syracuse is 5-5 and Missouri 5-5. And that game will be broadcast at 7 on ESPNU. Line Missouri by 5. Missouri is coming off. Mizzou is coming off their biggest win of the season as they came from behind to beat Tennessee, and the Orange are doing the same as they beat previously undefeated Louisville. Missouri has had 5 games this year, and they have been within one score, and the Cougs has also played 5 games within 8 points, so the odds say this one is going to be a close one. Taking it into consideration that Syracuse has played 3.0 points above the point spread per game, and Mizzou has played 2.2 below, it looks like the play is to take Syracuse in this game. But if you look close at the trends, Missouri has actually beat the spread in each of their last 3 games, winning outright in 2 of those games. Take Missouri, but I think Syracuse will keep it close. Missouri 31, Syracuse 24, Tennessee 4-6-0-6, at Vanderbilt 6-4-4-3, and that game is going to be at ESPN2. Line Vanderbilt by 3.5. Tennessee is yet to win a conference game this season. Maybe that's a little harsher than it sounds because in Tennessee's defense, all of those losses but one have come to top 25 opponents, and the other one came in overtime. On the other hand, Vanderbilt has lost every game they played against top 25 opponents, 0-3, but they have won four games in conference, all against unranked opponents. The interesting thing for Vandy is that they've won a lot of nail biters this season, at Missouri by 4 versus Auburn by 4, and at Ole Miss by 1. That tells me that Vandy is a tough team that knows how to win, but it also tells me not to bet the farm on them. If we are just simply lining up talent, Tennessee is the team to take in this game. But Vandy is the home team, and they simply play better and more points than the Volumes have this season. History is on the Tennessee side in this one, but I just don't think you can trust the Volumes to win the first road game of the season in the spot. Look for the Vols to fold late and the doors to either hang on late or take late lead to win the game. Vanderbilt 31, Tennessee 27. So that is prediction of college football analysis over at the College Football Villa. So opposingviews.com sports is where I've read this article from, and you can like their Facebook page also by the same name, most definitely. So I played another song, and then we'll continue profiling the 32 NFL coaches and interim coaches. So we'll cover one. I'm going to do my best to cover two, you know. But it's been really fun profiling the NFL head coaches and interim coaches. The live stream is going to stop in about 90 seconds, but the show will continue on. So you want to get your call in, you better hurry up and dial up so you can chat with me in the chat room, which is always fun. Reg must have had him a big date. Here's Andre Simone.
And
Andre Simone, America. Gangnam Style by Psy. This is the Tim Is Mad Troll Mix from SoundCloud.
Juicer, I give no fucks. Rocking punky booster, I'm voted best dressed. I'm fresh to death. Goddamn so clean, perfection in the flesh. Sea world, have fashion, get money, fuck taxes, so pretty, it's magic. I kill the beat, it's tragic. No horseplay in Sea World. Sea biscuit and quick draw. I don't fuck with you broke dudes. You and you, all y'all, married to the game. Shotgun wedding, sauna, new whip, black and black, big body, Rick Ross. Bitch looking for foe play, photo count blow his dick off. White girl, that's wordplay, I be sexy, jerk off. Gucci Mane, I'm bird up, sex money, murder. Bitches on my dick, cause I always got my shirt off. Money and ladies, Seawolf, high fashion. Swagged up Mercedes, Seawolf, high fashion. Clothes from the 80s, Seawolf, high fashion. Swag is amazing, Seawolf, high fashion. Money and ladies, Seawolf, high fashion. Swagged up Mercedes, Seawolf, high fashion. Clothes from the 80s, Seawolf, high fashion. Swag is amazing, Seawolf, high fashion.
Everywhere I go, I see high fashion. Chanel, Gucci bag. What is the birth of the planetary fashion?
Wow, high fashion everywhere we go.
looking like you see my plan, girl. Yeah, I wanna get you up against the wall and ring out the freaking yell.
Target Practice, Rodney Dortchild Jurgens. Oh, Backpack Kids. Okay, it's time to talk about Mike McCarthy. Last week we did talk about Detroit Lions. Coach, Michael John, Mike McCarthy, going November the 10th. On November 10th, 1963, 49, professional American football coach, currently serving as the head coach of the National Football League's Green Bay Packers. His early life, he was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His father was a firefighter and a Pittsburgh police officer, as well as a bar owner, who raised McCarthy as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. McCarthy was a tight end at Baker University, a NAIA school located in Baldwin City, Kansas. His coaching career, after serving as a graduate assistant at Fort Hays State from 87 to 88, McCarthy returned home to Pittsburgh and was hired in 89 to work under Paul Haggett at the University of Pittsburgh, where he served as quarterback coach for three seasons before coaching wide receivers during the 1992 season. At first and during the offseason, he also worked on the Pennsylvania Turnpike to supplement his income. As a assistant coach in 93, McCarthy began his stint with the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs. After working 2 years as an offensive quality control assistant, McCarthy. I had to walk off from the broadcast for a second. After working 2 years as an offensive quality control assistant, McCarthy became quarterback coach, overseeing the work of Rich Gannon, Elvis Grobach, and Steve Barno. McCarthy spent the 1999 season in the same position with the Packers, coaching Brett Favre in a season where Favre threw for 4,091 yards, the fourth-best total of his career. After the Packers released the entire coaching staff following the 1999 season, McCarthy became the defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints. He would remain in that position for five seasons and was selected as the NFC Assistant Coach of the Year by USA Today in 2000. In 2005, McCarthy served as defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. His unit beset by injuries and led by a rookie quarterback, top draft pick Alex Smith, finished the season ranked last in the NFL in points scored in yards gained. Alex Smith, he and Reggie Bush attended the same high school, if I'm not mistaken. And also, speaking of the Saints, congrats to the Saints and the Cowboys. So that was Sunday, so to this week is another week. But congrats for both of my favorite teams for winning their games. And I hope Michael Vick is recovering from that concussion. I thought I had heard that that concussion was a pretty bad one. Head coach returned to Green Bay. McCarthy was interviewed by Packers general manager Ted Thompson on January 8, 2006, and was offered a head coaching position 3 days later. 06, the Packers started with 4-8 record but managed to win their last four games to finish the season 8-8, ending with a win against their arch rival Chicago Bears, but missing the playoffs for the second straight year. In 07, McCarthy guided the Packers to an 8-1 record in the first nine games of the 07 season. McCarthy recorded the best one-loss ratio to start the first 25 games of a career among active coaches, setting the record for the best coaching start in Packers history. Vince Lombardi went 15-10 and tying Washington's Joe Gibbs at 15-9. McCarthy led the Packers to a 13-3 record and made it to the NFC Championship game, where they lost to the eventual Super Bowl winning New York Giants in overtime. That year, he finished second in voting for the Associated Press Coach of the Year Award, garnering 15 votes to the Bill Belichick's 29 votes. He signed a five-year contract extension with the team on January 2008, to raise his salary to $3.4 million a year. In 2008, McCarthy became involved in a major controversy involving the future of their franchise quarterback, Brett Favre. The controversy started with Favre after having announced his retirement, changed his mind, deciding to play again. Favre assumed that he would be given the starting quarterback job again. McCarthy and Packers general manager Ted Thompson had stated their desire to move forward with new starter Aaron Rodgers. Favre was offered the opportunity to be the backup to Rodgers, an offer which Favre refused. Favre was ultimately traded to the New York Jets for a conditional fourth-round draft pick. 08 season was McCarthy's first to date with the Packers. Despite a solid showing by Rodgers, who threw for over 4,000 yards and posted 93.8 passer rating, the Packers started with a 5.5 record, proceeding to lose five consecutive close games until they ended the disappointing season with a 31-21 victory over the Detroit Lions. The Lions are the only team in the NFL post-merger. The NFL and the original AFL merged prior to the 1970 season. History to go winless in a single season, and the first to go 0-6 in the one season after the NFL's transition to a 16-game schedule in 78. At 6-10, the Packers finished third in the NFC North, only ahead of the Lions, and did not make the playoffs. 09, the Packers showed some signs of improvement, but also had struggles. Rodgers improved on 08 statistics, but was sacked 50 times more than any other quarterback in the NFL. The Packers dominated teams of losing records, but were swept by their rival Minnesota Vikings, led by former Packers franchise quarterback Brett Favre. The Packers lost to the previously winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then came to beat the NFC East leading Dallas Cowboys. They then began a five-game winning streak, and the Packers qualified for the playoffs with a Week 7 win over the Seahawks, finishing at 11-5, the second playoff berth in McCarthy's tenure. The Packers lost the wild card round to the Arizona Cardinals in a controversial overtime game. In 10, McCarthy led the Packers to a 10-6 finish, never losing by more than 4 points and never trailing by more than 7 throughout the entire season. His record was good for second in the NFC North behind the arch rival Chicago Bears, with whom they split victories in the regular season. They finished as the sixth seed in the NFC. The Packers went to defeat the number three seed Philadelphia Eagles, and then the number season. They won 24 and they won 21-14, advanced to the Super Bowl, where they played the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was the first these two story franchises played each other in the postseason. The Green Bay Packers defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 13-25 to win the fourth Super Bowl NFL game. You can visit the website also. And his awards in 07, McCarthy was voted the Motorola NFC Coach of the Year at the twice receiving Coach of the Year award, named the NFL Alumni's Coach of the Year by a group of former players. In regard to his personal life, McCarthy married Jessica Kress in 08 at a private ceremony at Maricopa County, Pennsylvania. Together, they have two daughters, Gabriella Kathleen, born on October 22nd, 08, and Isabella Conroy, both July 29, 2011. McCarthy also has a daughter, Alexandra, from a previous marriage, and two stepsons, Jack and George. And sporting positions. Preceded by Andy Reid, Green Bay Packers quarterback coach 1999, succeeded by Tom Lockley. Preceded by Dan Abrahamowicz, Los Angeles Saints offensive coordinator 2004, succeeded by Mike Shepard. Succeeded by Ted Tolner, San Francisco 49ers offensive coordinator 2005, succeeded by North Turner. So that was a profile of the awesome coach, Mike McCarthy. I know I need to drink some water. My throat is dry. So that is information regarding that awesome coach. And we will be talking more about different coaches and their history. Their stories are so amazing. So we'll be talking about more and signing out more. And you're welcome to network with me via your respective social media sites and also call in sometimes. Also, big shout out to all my listeners in the UK, in Australia, Japan, in Malaysia, in Mississippi, on the coast, New Orleans. What's up to my friends in Big D? What's up to LeBaron Dallas, Deshaun Brown, Celebrity Catering, Black Assets Granite, Wow, Wow, Wow. Shout out to my friends in Miami who's been sending me a lot of invites. And my friends in New York, Minneapolis, Atlanta, ATL's in the house, Houston's in the house. Just everyone. I hope you all have been checking out Ebony Empress shows, which air live on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Tuesdays, it's Real Talk. On Thursdays, Marriage Endgame. Oh, that's the name. So her show is amazing. And I'm just amazed at the guys that get an opportunity to interact with within her Facebook page. But again, awesome. Just have an awesome, awesome weekend. It's not over yet. But I just wanted to let you know I have an awesome weekend and an amazing Thanksgiving holiday season. So this is just like an exciting time of year. Still praying for our friends in the Northeast and on the East Coast. My longtime Facebook friend, Divine Ellison, had just sent me an invite to listen to him spend his day on the preparty.com. Also, so the show seems pretty good. So, you know, yeah, really digging it. Yes, yes, yes. Hello, Fly Zone.
This is the Cashmere Masterpiece.
Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Tonight, for real. Yeah, welcome to the Fly Zone. Welcome to the Fly Zone.
clear the board, see the stakes, chips aboard. This is magic, black hammers, black rabbits. Out the hat, figure that, to figure this a nigga. It. Nothing else to think about. I'm sitting here, I'm airing out of my space. My plate is sitting full, pedaling. I flow like medicine. I keep pedaling. Get it in. Tonight we about to somersault. The way we about to round it off and navigate out of state. I'm not fly, that yay. Just break the re-break. Scratch like the sweepstakes and bring it back like rebate. Yeah. Sound like the late great, a way different pedigree. I'm sort of hard to intake. Mean that literally, the kid just killed a beat. A whole nother entity. It's kind of hard to figure me.
You know? Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Yeah, welcome to the fly zone. Welcome to the fly zone. A whole nother galaxy, I put together masterpieces in your face battling. Down south, Catalan, pounds with my mans on them. Hit me on the chirp again, to piggyback to work again. All at it, all on it, push till it's top of open. Niggas talk, I'm really on it. Really fly, fly zone, and I'm on it. I can kiss the sky, nigga. Water weight, brick pounds, I can clear the car, nigga. Yeah. I can clear the card, nigga. Either way, the dice shake. Flow comatose in a boy satellite fly. Welcome to my world, nigga. Next play, the best play. I get them for the low, nigga.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Yeah, welcome to the fly zone. Welcome to the fly zone.
Welcome to the Fly Zone. That's Chloe, San Francisco Fillmore represent. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Okay. Remember to visit nolabels.org, and the organization I belong to comprised of Independents, Republicans, and Democrats. They have a big meeting coming up in New York in January. Yep. So, let's see. I thought I wanted to say something about a certain article, but I don't. Yay! ...2013 is right around the corner. Matter of fact, walking up the walkway. Yep. KXI, the Jack the Local classic R&B channel, is jamming right now. I'm saying this because you might can hear some Keith Sweat playing in the background. Keith Sweat, I've seen him do a sound, he and his band perform this sound check. I have to add some of his awesome music to my playlist. Maybe get him on the show in the near future. I watched them rehearse their Sante for their performance when they were here back in early October. I hadn't seen his live show in ages, but he is an amazing talent. Just watching that sound check, I'm like, man, they're in for a big show. And it's Kate Zion has really been, like, really put his songs in heavy rotation, and it sounds so awesome, so good. Big shout-out to Keith Sweat and his band. Yep, yep, yep. I want to play something awesome. So that's why I'm pausing. I'm adding new songs to the playlist. It's like I can never, never, never get enough.
Thank you.
Funk Get Prince MPG, Dance Electric Jam. Just that's to everybody, loving their sports, whatever your favorite sport is this weekend. Still another big shout out to JSU and all Corn fans. Those of you who are there in spirit like me, are those that are actually there having a good time jamming with Ginuwine and other entertainers and just having a fun weekend in Lorman, Mississippi. I know Lorman, Mississippi is, and Natchez and other surrounding towns are enjoying the economic dollars that are in town this weekend, and also, of course, you all. But that is just amazing, good time, good thing to be having a super good time, and at the same time, bringing in those economic dollars to your respective areas. You know, Jacktown, of course, missed it, but also it's good that Lorman is being impacted economically by having this awesome game in Lorman this weekend. So, of course, I'm rooting for the JSU Tigers, but I love me some Alcorn, too. So may the best team win. But, hey, but Jackson State can go all the way to December 8th in Alabama. That is awesome in itself. And, you know, the bands, that's the thing, huh? Really, really, really. So some of the time to conclude the program. So I'm going to play a couple more songs, and, of course, we'll be on air tomorrow, God willing, with Weekend Edition Culture Shock Entertainment Report, and we'll be exclusively playing new songs by artists that I network with. One thing I love is that this is a good outlet to expose and promote not only music from mainstream artists, but independent and underground artists worldwide, not just from the States, but from all around the world. And that is a good thing. Really, it is.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Yay! And those of you that are working on quitting, cold turkey or wean yourself off, keep up the good work, okay? You can do it. Thank you for supporting me, also getting my buns back into shape, and I'm still on the right track, I must admit. So thank you very much for your support, okay? Thank you, you. thank you. Something was on the tip of my tongue. I went to Wally World today, Walmart. And, of course, I have not had Mexican food in nearly 3 months. I went into Taco Bell. I hadn't cooked a taco or enchilada or anything, a burrito or anything, and I did eat me a gordito. I didn't go all big. I just ate me a little small meal deal, but I had a gordito. You know, until I learn all the proper ways to cook the dishes healthy, that's one thing I like about the classes at the gym that I work out. And I haven't been to the gym in 3 to 4 weeks, but I've still been exercising, and my body is still transforming. But I do need to get on those ellipticals and get on that stationary bike and do some things. So I'll be headed back to the gym hopefully Monday. Monday after Thanksgiving, but hopefully this week I'll be there, you know, before Thanksgiving. I think I will go to the gym before Thanksgiving, of course. But I'm still on the right track, so I'm loving that because I'm getting my flat tummy back and gonna have it right and tight for real. So I thank you all, man. I was getting kind of spooked though, you know, because my journey, this journey of best chubby to fit, like okay. My mindset's right, and you all remember when I was like, wait a second, something's not happening. It's one while something was happening, body was transforming, didn't seem like I was at a standstill. But thank God, you know, my metabolism is getting back on track, and my body is honestly transforming. So I just have to listen to my doctor, listen to resume doing the good habits that I do know, continue learning and listening to my support system of coaches and friends and those who are also working at living a healthier life, you know, if they're maintaining their weight, trying to gain weight or lose weight, you know, because that's one thing about it, regardless of where we are in our fitness level, all of us are always working to live healthier and happier lives, you know. So I commend you for sticking to your New Year's resolutions and your mid-year resolutions and end-of-the-year resolutions and goals. And 2013 is here, you know. That's one thing about resolutions and goals. And if you in New Year's resolutions, you can always get back on track. No need to be hard on yourself and so on. But I really, really, really thank you.
Hola, soy Talía. Muchos de ustedes me conocen como actriz, cantante y artista, pero mi papel más importante es el de ser mamá. March of Dimes me ayudó con excelente información durante mi embarazo. Cada año más de 500,000 de bebés nacen muy temprano y sufren serios problemas de salud de por vida. Yo apoyo a March of Dimes porque deseo ayudar a que esto cambie. Ayude a combatir el nacimiento prematuro. Visite nacersano.org.
Hi, I'm Sean Johnson, Olympic gymnast. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, but I went on to win gold. Every baby deserves that chance, to grow up and shine. That's what March of Dimes is all about. Help me and the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. To get involved or to make a gift, visit marchofdimes.com.
Ada Fennell, Wild at Heart, Folk Catch Remix. Got some from one of my friends at SoundCloud. Awesome, 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 right? Here is Marvelous Assassin.
Yeah.